This is the Rich Eisen Show.
DJ Mikey D. D is in D's nuts.
What do you think of that, Steve? What do you think of that?
D's nuts. I like it.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Don't get angry at Brian Kelly. Don't get angry at Lincoln Riley either. You turned down those terms.
Today's guests, co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Smith, Pro Football Hall of Famer Tony Dungy, ESPN senior baseball writer Jeff Passan, plus legendary boxing promoter Bob Arum. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here live from Los Angeles, California on a Thursday. First Thursday in the month of December, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We have phone lines open. We've got space for you to have a conversation with us today. It is another day on NBC Sports on Peacock after the Dan Patrick Show, who we also follow, which we also follow on Sirius XM. Channel 85 NBC Sports Audio. We say hello to your audiences, those audiences right there. Our audience on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, smart enough to have us. We say hello to our Odyssey streamers. We also want to say hello to anybody who listens to this show on their own whenever they wish on our podcast. We greatly appreciate you subscribing to our podcast, listening to it on the Cumulus Podcast Network, where all podcasts can be acquired. Great to see you, Chris Brockman. How are you, Chris?
Great to see you, Rich.
Mike Del Tufo, DJ Mikey D. How are you, sir? Good to see you.
Yeah, here we go.
TJ Jefferson, wow. It's not only a Thursday, it's a Dallas Cowboy varsity day for you.
Varsity plays today, and if we don't stomp a mud hole in the Saints tonight, I'm going to be very I might have to clear off the dry erase board if that don't happen.
Oh, really?
Whoa.
You know, I'm just saying.
The dry erase board, how about them Cowboys?
I don't have the patience to jack with you.
He clearly doesn't have any
patience. That's how I feel. That's how I feel.
Well, you know what?
That's how I feel.
I think that's an appropriate way to dovetail into what I was planning on saying, to
I
be honest
figured,
with you.
Yeah.
Okay. As if you don't just light your candle every day and say what's ever on your mind.
Wow.
So, but what you just said is appropriate for my concept of what I was going to say to start today's program, and that's it's December. We're officially in December in the National Football League. And it's always been the case since I've started talking football every day with the NFL Network now 18 years ago. Ooh. 19th season we're in right now covering the NFL for NFL Network. And so we were always taking our cues at the time from Bill Parcells when we started. He was the head coach of Dallas Cowboys football when we came on the air in 2003. Every single time he had a press conference each week, he had his weekly press conference, we would play a large chunk of it on the air because it was truly like, at the time, one of the most popular shows, a guy from Jersey, a big boss from Jersey, just unburdening himself. It did feel like a Dr. Melfi session with Tony Soprano. It felt like we were listening into this man's innermost thoughts, Bill Parcells. We would call it a fresh tuna segment every day. And he would always say his sensibility, and I'm sure he took it from somewhere else, he learned it somewhere else, always said the season essentially starts once Thanksgiving's over. That's when you know who you are essentially as a team. Your identity's already been forged. Your opportunities have been taken advantage of so far to set you up for the ultimate opportunity, which is go on a run into the playoffs. Now, normally, that would mean there was only 5 weeks left in the season, pretty much. Now, it's a longer season. We'll see for the first time with a 17-game regular season that goes into the middle of January, if that still applies. I think it does. I think it does. And the Dallas Cowboys tonight have set themselves up for their opportunities coming off of a Thanksgiving loss. They've lost 3 of 4. Okay. And they lose to Denver, then they beat Atlanta, and then they lose 2 in a row. Kansas City and at home against the Vegas Raiders. And there's two things. One, good thing they don't play in the AFC West. They're done with them. They're done with them. The Chargers were the only AFC West team that they beat this year here in L.A., and if you remember that game, they needed a lot of mistakes by the Chargers to do that. They almost went 0-4 in the division that they play this year, the NFC East does against the AFC West. But the rest of it is that they've been banged up. They haven't had all their guys. And tonight, we'll see what shape Amari Cooper is in. He's off the COVID list. And CeeDee Lamb is coming back from a concussion that he suffered at the end of the first half in the loss to Kansas City, and then the short week did not allow him to get back on the field and out of concussion protocol. Tyron Smith is back. Zeke apparently is going to get a full load tonight. We'll see about the pass rushers and who's available and who's not, but in coming weeks, they're going to be full stocked up. And the Washington football team is as close as they've been in quite some time, just two games behind the Dallas Cowboys right now. And the Saints are going to be without Alvin Kamara tonight. He's not going to be able to answer the bell tonight. Once again, for a Saints team that is going to start Taysom Hill, we'll see if that is going to be more efficient for them, because Trevor Siemian has just simply not gotten the job done. Saints had no plans to play him this year at all. Jameis gets hurt. Taysom Hill can't go. The first couple of starts for Trevor Siemian weren't too shabby, certainly the way that he finished the game against the Bucs. But he's not the long-term answer for this team that still has some hopes to make the playoffs, because they're sniffing it right now. And if you look at the NFC standings going into tonight, they're 5-6, just like the Falcons, Vikings, and the team that's sitting there in the seventh seed, because they're 5-2 in conference. It's a heck of a tiebreak Washington has in their back pocket moving forward. So the Saints have every opportunity to make the playoffs right now, here on out in the post-Thanksgiving portion of our schedule. And the Cowboys sitting at 7-4. Once again, the way that they are playing is good enough to win the division, but not good enough to avoid the best team in the wild card slot that's going to come into Dallas, presumably out of the NFC West, whoever doesn't finish in first place right there. And we're assuming at this point, whoever finishes behind the Cardinals. We're coming off a bye week visiting the Bears, and we do expect to see Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins back, but one never knows. Second season, essentially, in the regular season, longest one begins tonight. I think the Cowboys are going to be fine. I do think that they do come up with this win in New Orleans tonight. They are the better team. They are the better team with the better quarterback. They are the better team with the better quarterback and better weapons. They are the team with the best chance to win tonight, with all due respect to the New Orleans defense. But if the Bills went into their house and did that against them that night on Thanksgiving night, the Cowboys should do the same. They've got a better running game than the Bills. Mm-hmm. You know, they have their own digs on the other side of the ball. So yes, we'll see what happens tonight. I think you do get what you want. And speaking of giving you what you want.
Thank you.
I think it's time to give everybody in this room what they want.
Oh, raises, yeah. Guys, raises. Yeah, that brown paper bag money. We've been asking for that for a long
this
time.
Just in, this just in. This just in. That's not it.
Oh. No. Backpacks full of cash.
No. I am, however, in a giving mood.
Oh, I'll take it.
As so you it know, is money.
As yeah. you know, I've been very, you know.
We've had a week.
I've been very excited here. I've been very chesty is a word that a friend of mine used. That I've been puffing out my chest and
mm-hmm. You're feeling yourself.
You know, it's the Thursday after the Saturday in which Michigan beat Ohio State football, mm-hmm. and I come in here and I can't say it enough, and I'm enjoying myself, and then you know, each day gets better from Notre Dame's predicament, where they did find you know, a replacement for Brian Kelly. Look, it's Marcus Freeman from the staff, and you know, he's very well loved within the within the university and with the program, and I'm sure he's going to do a great job, you know. And so I hope he does well enough that he can get to the next job where he wants to go, because that's clearly what Brian Kelly utilized Notre Dame for in his tenure there, to become the longest, the most winningest head coach there, and then leave and prove that Notre Dame's a stepping stone job. And then Ohio State has a great win against Duke in hoops, which allows me to utilize in their direction the line that's been utilized in my direction from them for over a decade, which is, hey, Michigan, great hoops program. You're a great basketball school now. I mean, those are the lines that I got for a decade. Now, I didn't think I'd be able to utilize that. I didn't even think I would utilize that. But circumstances present themselves over and over and over again here. And I figured I'm going to give you guys what you've been asking me for years. And I have said no.
Are you going to curse on air?
Yes.
No.
Let's go.
No, I'm going to be professional.
Oh.
Guys.
Never asked
I'm
that.
Going to give you here, because it's December football, and it is now time that teams have already established themselves, as I said, and have proven themselves to be potentially playoff worthy or not, and that now it's kind of a second season within the regular season. We've hit December football, post-Thanksgiving football. This is it. Rubber meets road. Opportunities are met. Opportunities knocking. Who's answering the door? I'm going to give you, for the first time ever, a Rich Eisen power rankings, top five in the NFL right now. Oh. You guys have been saying, "Hey, Rich, give us a power ranking. Why don't you do power rankings?" And I don't want to. Everybody does a power ranking.
And plus,
I don't know what this means. This means that a team that's five can beat, cannot beat four. That four would beat five. Yes. Is that what that means?
That's what that means. You would pick four over five.
I would pick four over five.
Right.
But three over four and then vice versa.
Right.
Okay. Hit it, Mike Del Tufo. Here we go, everybody. Here we go. Give me the music. As we enter December football in 2021, here it is. The first ever power rankings. And if I feel like it, I'll do it again.
Hey. All right.
Okay. Here we go. Number five is the Baltimore Ravens. Right now.
Okay.
Baltimore Ravens are your fifth ranked team right here. The way that they just balled out on defense shows me that they are doing that more often than not. These are not outliers. That defense can come after you. You can beat them, of course, but they can get after you. And then Lamar Jackson will throw four interceptions in a game and still make the eye-popping plays to not only make up for it, but dominate you and suck your will out from you. They're your fifth-ranked team. Number four, the Patriots. I'm taking the New England Patriots at number four, okay? And then after the New England Patriots at number four, I'm going to go with three NFC teams. I'm going Bucks at three, Packers at two, and the Cardinals have to be number one. And I know that the Packers have already beaten the Cardinals, and what are you thinking? What are you doing? I don't know. It's my power rankings. I've never really done them before. I'm just telling you that the Arizona Cardinals are 9-2. And if fully constituted and fully healthy and coming after you, and you've got to go into the Red Sea, and I understand that the Packers did just that and they were shorthanded on a short week, I'm going to take the Arizona Cardinals. Now, the Patriots, in my mind right now, are playing the best football in the AFC. They have the most opportunistic defense. They have the most efficient offense. They have the best special teams together, and I know that I'm talking about Justin Tucker for the Ravens, but all said and done, if New England takes on the Ravens right now, I think New England wins that football game. Isn't that what I have to do right now? Is that what I have to say?
Okay. That's how it works.
Now, I was thinking of even taking New England three, but I just cannot believe that Brady and the Bucks would lose to them even in a second shot right now.
Neutral site, where's the game?
Well, if the neutral site, you're only talking about neutral site, you're talking about Super Bowl 56 up the road.
Please let that out.
Okay. Which I believe wouldn't be so neutral a site.
Ooh, all Pats fans?
I think it would be a predominant number of New England fans in that building as opposed to Buccaneer fans.
I think you're probably right.
I've met a lot of more folks like you around these parts in the last 20 years than folks like Dick Vitale. You know what I mean? I did run into Dick Vitale once at Nate Now's, but that's about it. I don't run into many Tampa people around here.
We call little Quincy out here.
You know, I know. I think some of the Glazers do live in Los Angeles. Other than that, I haven't run into too many Bucks fans here. I've run into a lot more of you.
My boy Shane Powers from Crackpot Breaks, bro.
I do think the Packers defense is playing so well. They're going to get more healthy, and they couldn't have been more impressive against that Rams front, despite having injuries up front. And they're going to get healthier on both sides of the ball coming off of the bye. And I would put them one, but again, Arizona's 9-2, so I got to go with the team that's got the best record. I think that's my first power rankings.
Okay. Well done.
What do you think?
Well done.
You got arguments? Isn't that what this is for? It's supposed to spur arguments?
All right, we'll get one.
No, I'm not getting one more.
Debate, you know.
You debate it. You ask people to call in 844-204-RICH. Rich, you don't know what you're talking about. What are you doing? You left my team off. Did I snub anyone?
I'm trying to think who else.
Would you say the Cowboys should be in instead of the Ravens? Do you think that I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I would say that, but I'm supposed to say that as a Cowboys fan. But I have no problem with your unlike you with my top fives.
I think the Ravens beat the Cowboys right now. I think the Ravens beat the Cowboys right now.
I think it just depends on what week it is. It could happen for sure.
You could have stirred it up and put Kansas City five.
Oh, yeah.
If you think they're playing the better football than, say, Baltimore.
I see what you're saying. Better football. But Baltimore is 8-3, and I am going to back up my statements
about them.
And they're
the one seed in the AFC.
I'm going to back up my statement. I didn't even put the one seed in the AFC first, you know.
Like I said yesterday, the Ravens are winning, and they're not playing their best football.
Yeah, I didn't even have them.
I'd be worried.
Better AFC team in my power rankings. And by the way, why are they power rankings? Why do we call them power rankings?
Because they're powerful.
Why don't we just call them dartboard rankings?
I think.
Why don't we just call them? I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Is this
about
our version of in the hunt?
See, I should what, sniffing it?
This is.
We should come
this
up with something.
So we go sniffing it instead of in the hunt.
Right.
So we want to go dartboard rankings.
No,
or...
no. What do we do? Because I think, you know, something else. Why are they power rankings?
Well, because
who's the first
good.
One? Huh?
It sounds good.
Meanings that who's power. The most powerful?
Powerful, yeah.
Omnipotence. Right.
I mean, we can work on it. We can work on it.
Power rankings.
All right. Why?
You know, you should do. Yeah, and say who else has got a better idea? Let's brand it something else.
Yeah, it's like
844-204-RICH.
I mean,
give us a call.
We're RES consultants.
And do
people
me a favor.
Us.
Hold on and talk. I don't like you calling. You know. Adam, our call screen, and saying blah, 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 and then hang up. And I don't mean to irritate you saying that. I know that's not very friendly, blah, blah, very, blah, very blah. Listener
sometimes
friendly.
That's once in a while you'll get a call like that.
I just, you know, we had a guy on pest control the other day hanging on. He was literally exterminating bugs while giving us his hot take.
I really
I prefer that.
He's zapping bugs.
He's zapping bugs and taking names.
Zapping bugs and taking names.
That's what he's doing. Power rankings.
Laying down roach motels.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? I'd like to come up with something other than a power ranking. We're not in the hunt, people. We're sniffing it.
We're sniffing it.
Which is you. You're sniffing it.
You
right
are.
Now.
Well, you're close.
Dogs follow dogs. And
you know what I mean?
Close.
Like in the hunt. Everybody's in the hunt. The question is how close are you to the hunt. To the hunted?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the Lions are technically in the hunt, but they are not sniffing it.
Lions are in the hunt for the number one draft.
They are in the hunt. They're playing this weekend, aren't they?
Yeah.
If you're playing this weekend, you are in the hunt.
You're alive.
But they're in
you're
the
alive.
Hunt for something
alive,
different.
You're hunting.
You don't think they want to take a piece out of the Minnesota Vikings right now?
They want sure.
To bite kneecaps.
And take them out, and then when you do that, you perform some other cannibalistic act.
Right.
Right? So that's what they want to do this weekend. They are in the hunt. But are they sniffing it? No. See, there's a difference. There's a difference. Sometimes you don't get what you need, but sometimes you'll get something, right?
Mick Jagger said something to that.
Well, no, you kind of messed that up.
No, I didn't.
You can't always get what you want.
But if you try,
you'll get what you need.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I wasn't going to music lyric.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going Stones.
There's a difference between what you need and what you want, right? Or what you can have. How about that? Ooh. Right?
Talk it out.
I don't know what I'm saying now, other than the fact that I don't like power rankings and I don't like the name of it. But I gave it to you anyway because I'm in such a great mood.
Thank you.
Tomorrow will be the Friday after Ohio State.
No, tomorrow is when the nervousness of how much I've been writing checks actually begins to set in.
Yeah, because
I got one more day of that left.
Weekend.
Can I ask a question, though? Let's just say that you, I'm not putting it out there, but if you do not take the W on Saturday, are you really going to care as much because you got that dub last week against the Buckeyes?
I'm not going to even...
Don't even
entertain that idea.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? I wouldn't do that to you.
I'm just saying
any of your teams.
I'm just saying it seems like that was your Super Bowl last week is all I'm saying.
Uh-oh.
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not going to lie that was, but then through that portal of the Super Bowl comes all sorts of manners of opportunity where now you take that next step where that's not really your Super Bowl. It's a stepping stone, sort of like the job at Notre Dame on the way to LSU.
I knew that was coming.
Take a break. I'm feeling it. Those are my power rankings, baby.
Feeling you.
Here are my power rankings in terms of jobs. Notre Dame, then LSU. And fill in the rest. Michael Smith, Tony Dungy, Jeff Passan. Oh, by the way, there's a lockout in baseball.
Oh, darn.
And the great Bob Arum in studio, hour three. Some story time with Bob coming up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls here on this program. Brother from Another follows this show every day on NBC Sports on Peacock. The gents who bat stuff around and make you think and laugh and have a good time are Michael Holly and back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Michael Smith. How you doing, Michael Smith?
I'm good. Good to talk to y'all.
Good to talk to you, too.
I'm going to start by answering your poll question in a different way.
Okay, and the question being LSU or Notre Dame, which is the best job for college athletics, I guess, or football? Go for it, Michael. Go for it.
LSU is the better job.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame is the more prestigious program, mm-hmm. obviously. But here's my prediction. Marcus Freeman wins a national title before Brian Kelly.
No.
And I don't really think that's really a hot take. I don't really think it's a stretch.
Okay.
Now, I do realize that every coach since is Saban, Miles, and Orgeron all won national champions. And the last two aren't good coaches. Okay? I get all the recruiting advantages and the facilities and the money and boosts. I got it, you know. But I see so much of and I've never met this guy. I've never met Marcus Freeman. But it feels real like Mike Tomlin-ish with regard to his meteoric rise. I mean, people were pounding the table for dude. And they entrusted that prestigious program to a 35-year-old who was a defensive coordinator in a Power 5 school 1 year. Reminds me a little bit, hope this isn't much of a stretch, of Tomlin going from DB's coach in Tampa when I met him to 1 year as D coordinator in Minnesota to the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Notre Dame of the NFL, if you will, the Pittsburgh Steelers saying, this is the guy. And not only does it offer stability in the short term with regard to potential playoff appearance as well as recruiting,
mm-hmm.
I think they might have gotten a star. I hate the way Brian Kelly did it. I hate the timing. I don't hate that he got his money. I mean, pardon my language.
Okay.
Give me $100 million, I'm bouncing too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get it. But the timing of it rubbed me the wrong way. But I think it was a blessing in disguise, and just from the outside looking in, it looks like Notre Dame may have actually come up because Kelly rebuilt the program, provided an infrastructure that a star like Marcus Freeman has an opportunity to build upon. So I wouldn't be surprised if not only does he continue Notre Dame's recent run of success, but actually with his recruiting prowess, puts it over the top and delivers a national championship sooner than the guy that's got to go through Saban in the SEC West.
Well, Jack Swarbrick, the AD in Notre Dame, said that the program is in much better shape than it was when Brian Kelly arrived.
No question.
And I will just give a you know, pull on the strand that you threw out there about Kelly and the timing of it. You can't blame him for the timing of it either, because the way that everything is set up by the NCAA and school presidents have to sign off on it, and school administrators and athletic directors are clearly signing off on it, is with this early signing period being in the middle of this month, mm-hmm. and so much being put on recruiting, and it's being the lifeblood of the sport, obviously, mm-hmm. you have to make a decision about, you know, who you're firing as coaches and hiring as coaches now. And I think it's totally naive to think that Kelly hasn't had a feeler out from LSU, and Riley a feeler out from USC, you know, probably well before Halloween, even, you know.
100%. I mean, USC's job's been vacant since week two. Orgeron's been done for weeks. Listen, you can't blame Brian Kelly. And more than one thing can be true at the same time. So let's just get a few obvious things out of the way, just so I'm clear. Hey, man, get your money. Yeah, I would never begrudge anybody for getting money. Second thing is, this is what Brian Kelly does. So it's like in a relationship. If you cheat with somebody who's in a relationship, don't be shocked when they cheat on you. Okay? Like, that's how you got them in the first place. So this is how he rolls. But here's why I said more than one thing can be true at the same time, and you can blame him. You just hit it. He's known about LSU since before Saturday or Sunday. He's known about that. And the recruiting clock or the recruiting calendar only matters if you're going to another job, which, again, is his prerogative to take. This is unprecedented for somebody to leave when your team is in contention for a championship. If it was a Sunflower Seed Bowl, we've seen that before. But your team is in contention for a championship, and you're leaving now, that's uncomfortable, and that's putting it kindly. You know, if the object of the exercise is to compete for championships, maybe LSU does give you a better chance of competing, albeit in the SEC West, competing year in and year out for championships, hence your poll question. Maybe it does. But in 2021, your players, the guys that you recruited once upon a time to come to Notre Dame to win a championship, have an opportunity to do that. So it's the timing sucks. Is it his fault? Did he set the calendar? No. Did he do all he could? Is the work done at Notre Dame? Sure, but the job wasn't finished.
But I mean, in 2021, of course. And then, you know, it's just a bad look, and it's also a dreadful way to leave, you know, adolescents, who they still are. I know they're grown men in terms of, you know, their physical prowess, but I mean,
I was, by the way,
you say it again.
Who seems to be taking it better than me? Like, maybe I have no tie to Notre Dame. I don't play for them. I ain't go there. I ain't got no family members who went there.
Or Oklahoma. So what about this? What about this? How about we push back this recruiting period? I don't know how far it needs to be in order to remove this from the equation. Is it, you know, the week after the national championship game? You know, is that what it can possibly be? And or if you do hire a coach before this early recruiting period from another member school, you lose scholarships. Like, there should be some sort of of teeth here.
Regulation.
Right. Or, you know, look at each other and just say, this is ugly for Notre Dame. It's not pretty for LSU either, although they're sitting pretty. And the same thing with USC, like, bye-bye, whatever. They don't care. They already have one of the top recruits that Lincoln Riley had coming to Oklahoma come to them. I see all the USC Trojan friends and fans right around here. They're not crying a river at all. They're all fired up. And, of course, Oklahoma fans are like, good luck with the guy who couldn't get out of the national championship semifinal more often than not, you know. And it's kind of ugly, you know. So something.
In essence, it kind of is what it is. Like, it's a dirty world, but it's still spinning. Can't do nothing about it but try to live in it. But, like, you know, I would like to see, again, maybe it's unrealistic and maybe it's too complicated to pull off, but, you know, in the NFL, you can't hire a coach away from a team that's in the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, you could interview them, but they still have to finish the job. You know, they can't take the job, can they? You know, so there are regulations about when you can interview coaches and when you can hire coaches in the NFL. I mean, I guess, and for me, look, I get that the players are getting, you know, the crumbs that are name, image, and likeness and a transfer portal at long last. You know, hey, you want to make some money? Go do extra work, you know, in order to make the money that we won't give you, or make some of the money that we won't give you. This entire situation, and Lincoln Riley, I'm okay with. I'm okay with Lincoln Riley. You know, even though, you know, he pulled in Aaron Rodgers and, like, I'm not going to be the coach at LSU. You know, I ain't say nothing about USC. You know, but I understand that because his team wasn't going to the playoff. For me, it's that these kids, and you know, they're young men and they know what it is and it's a business for everybody. I get it. But nonetheless, these guys come in and are recruited to try to compete for a championship. And for you to bail on them, albeit for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, is unfair to the very people who continue to get the short end of the stick throughout the history of this glorious sport, and that's the players.
Are you saying that Lincoln Riley said he was inoculated from going to LSU? Is that what your
more
reference
less,
was right there?
More or less. Yeah, that's a great way of saying it, actually, yes.
Michael
he answered the question. He didn't answer the question, but... He wasn't pressed enough.
Well, I mean, he cut off the question to
exactly.
say, let me just which tell is, you this, I will not be the coach of LSU.
Which is college media relations 101.
Fully
you don't get away with that in the NFL.
Fully
you know?
Aware that my attorney is talking to USC right now, talking
as
about private jets and the sale of my two homes, the one that I have
know,
and the one that I'm building,
talk about it.
Over
talk about
market
come
price,
up.
You know? Like that, that just came around in 2 seconds, right? Like we didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, that deal came together quickly.
Oh
no, but ultimately, I think Notre Dame will win out, though, and it's a blessing in disguise. I mean, I think you know Brian Kelly. Good luck. He did his job there. He rebuilt the program, but they got a good one by all accounts in Freeman. They seem excited about it, and 35 years old, rising star. Maybe this is the beginning of an incredible career. They just needed an opportunity in the form of somebody else moving on.
What's on your rundown for later on today at 3 Eastern time on Brother from Another?
Freeman, the defending champs, rolling in the NBA.
Okay.
LaMelo Ball, whose ceiling is the roof. Y'all were talking about the Cowboys before I came on.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to watching Micah Parsons tonight. I don't remember, and I watch a lot of football, Rich, as have you. Who's the last guy to be that good off the ball on first and second down and that good off the edge on third down? Like, that's a package. I don't want to go so far as to say it's unprecedented because I could be forgetting somebody. I would hate to do that. But usually you got to be good at one or the other. Some guys have been able to do both. You know, it's not unprecedented to be versatile. But he's among the best pass rushers in the NFL, and he's an off-the-ball linebacker on first and second down.
I'm trying to think because not many pass rushers are asked to do coverage, as you've pointed out, like that. You've asked me that question. I'm just going in my head. Von Miller, you know, but he didn't really drop very much. I don't know. I mean, Parsons, when the Cowboys drafted him, I don't know if they really thought or had that defense. Like whenever you draft a linebacker like Parsons, when you're like the Steelers, you're like, oh, that guy's going to rush the passer. Right.
Correct.
When the Cowboys draft him, you're not thinking that. Certainly when they got Tank Lawrence, Randy Gregory. And that's why I keep saying the Cowboys are fine. You know, the Cowboys have all of these division games left, and the division games that they've played are easily their easiest ones on the schedule, certainly since they went 1-3 in the AFC West, and then they barely beat the Patriots in their one other game against an AFC team. Right. And so they're going to get healthier. And to me, Pollard's the better running back right now. And he's the one that I think is going to get the package tonight, despite what Jerry Jones said. And I think we're going to see that this evening against the Saints.
It does feel like something of a confirmation bias for some people when it comes to Dallas. Like if you believe that, you know, the Cowboys are going Cowboy and this is what they do. They collapse. They break your hearts. This, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. That's your brand. If that's just how you view Dallas, then, you know, the last few weeks, circumstances aside, certainly fed into that. And, you know, but it's like I'm with you. Like, get your jokes off now because I know that the schedule is all there for the football team. And, you know, the Eagles, at least before last week, felt like they had a chance to make a run and maybe they can, you know, do something. I don't think it's particularly close in that division. if the Cowboys are at full strength. And getting DeMarcus Lawrence back, watching those two dudes come off the edge tonight is going to be fascinating, to say the least. So we'll get into that. And then this Major League Baseball lockout.
Yep.
You know, we'll try not to bore our audience.
No, I know.
Labor relations.
I'm going to have Jeff Passan of ESPN on later. I made the decision. Jeff is one of my favorites. And I made the decision because I lost all of my remaining here during the 2011 lockout, covering that for NFL Total Access and NFL Network on a daily basis. It is not fun. It's not fun for fans to hear or listen to. That's what I figured. I'm just going to have him on to talk about the beats of why this has happened. And you know there's going to be there's a drop-dead date in the minds of both sets of negotiators right now. And that's probably 2 weeks before pitchers and catchers report. And then if you push into that, that means you're going to end up pushing spring training, or you're going to collapse spring training in order to get to your first game in April. And then suddenly you're talking about the season not being as good. It's not played under the same circumstances. And then that's when fans begin to check out. So I want to know when that drop date is. And, you know, that's why I'm going to have him on later on.
No, let me know what he says. I think, well, interestingly, so this first work stoppage in 26 years, I don't believe, check me on this, I don't believe that any games have ever been lost to lockouts. Games have been lost to strikes, but not lockouts.
I'm not aware of that, but to me it doesn't, to fans, as you know, it doesn't really matter.
No, my point is, I'm with you that they're going to get this figured out. It's hard to identify a middle ground. My point is I'm optimistic that they don't miss games. In the meantime, I'm going to have fun just watching them be petty, because it's the first labor work stoppage, in Major League Baseball in the internet era. So I'm just enjoying them basically changing their relationship status, and, you know, players changing their profile pictures, and the team, and they're scrubbing their digital presence, basically just saying, hey, we're not on speaking terms right now. So it's just kind of fun to watch them be petty in the meantime.
Michael Smith, have a great show tonight. Really appreciate our chats. We'll do it again. Thanks again.
Be cool with
you. You got that. Michael Smith. He and Michael Holly on Brother From Another on NBC Sports on Peacock right after this show at 3 Eastern time. Phone lines are lit, 844-204-RICH. We'll take that, and then we will hit a little bit on this lockout and my 2 cents on that, and who I'm thinking of today, because there are some people I'm thinking of today with this baseball lockout. And then your calls, 844-204-RICH, as Tony Dungy, Pro Football Hall of Famer from NBC, will join us top of the next hour.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of 3 pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a couple phone calls here on our program. Let's go to Dylan in Georgia. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, Rich. How are you this morning,
sir? What's going on? What's on your mind?
Not much. First, I just want to say, look, TJ and you guys, you host a wonderful show.
Thank you.
I love tuning into your show. I was a big fan of you, even going back to your, you know, the NFL days with the game day morning talk shows and then NFL Tittle Access and everything.
Sure.
I love your intelligence and everything. So I had a couple of questions for you.
All right. I feel like you're buttering me up for something. I'm not going to lie here. I feel like this is big setup. Like this is like Luis Tiant, full wind up, back to the home plate, and now here comes some junk. I don't know what's coming.
Ethan's pitch.
What's happening here? What's happening?
So listen, I am a huge Buckeye fan, and I want to say congratulations to you. Unfortunately, my birthday falls on the 28th, so it's either the day before, the day after, the day of the game. So you did kind of spoil my birthday this year.
Sorry, man.
Congratulations to you.
You got 2 for flinching.
Right? But I did want to ask you really fast, Rich. I think there is some potential of how Ohio State could get in to the playoff mix again, and nobody has talked about it.
All right, I'll give you the floor. Does everybody has to lose twice in one weekend? I mean, tell me how that works.
Here's how I think it happens. Right?
Starts with Iowa beating Michigan. It starts with my nightmare. What else? That's odd. That your dream starts with my nightmare. What else? Go for it.
So I would say that happens, but here's the thing, right? With you guys beating Ohio State and handling business the way you did, even as a Buckeye fan, I can say I was quite surprised with how you just dismantled our team. Regardless if it was on offense, regardless if it was on defense, you guys, if you even lose a close one to Iowa, I think you should still be considered one of the top four teams in the nation. I think they should still keep you in. If Alabama loses to Georgia, right, they're out.
Mm-hmm.
If Oklahoma State winds up somehow losing to Baylor, then at 9 right now, I can't see how they would squeak in
right
to the top four, right? Cincinnati, if they lose to Houston somehow, then it leaves the door open for Michigan potentially to still stay in. It leaves the door open, of course, for Notre Dame. But the issue with Notre Dame, Rich, is who did they really beat this year?
Okay, so now I got to stop you there. The who have they really beat argument is never going to win the day for Ohio State sitting with two losses over a one-loss Notre Dame. That's just never going to happen. You know, and that's why I'm going to just tell this to you straight, even with you being so kind of what you said to start, and also you saying that Michigan still deserves to be in, even if they lose a close one to Iowa. That's never going to happen either. Your season is over, man. I mean, I just can't say that more in a gentle manner. Like, it's over. You are not playing for the national championship, and part of the reason is because of the dismantling that happened in the second half of that game. I think not only proved that Michigan had the better team on that day, but Ohio State's just not that good. I think it's just dead. They're just not that good. And in terms of the who have you really beaten, I'll just flip that on you. Who did you really beat?
I got you, right? But, and again, I can understand, and I think you can respect the Big Ten just as much as I can, Rich, right?
Okay, all right.
But then we do compare. If you do look at Notre Dame's schedule, and this is part of them not being part of a conference right now, their best win is against an 8-4 Purdue team. For Christ's sake, they almost lost to a Florida State team that barely even could squeak by a couple of wins, that lost to Jacksonville State University this year. They barely could even beat them. Ohio State's losses come against top 10 teams. It comes against an Oregon. It comes against a very, very respected Michigan team that turned it around this year and has cranked up the heat when they needed to.
Dalen, thanks for the call, and happy belated birthday, and thank you for
happy
what
birthday,
you said.
Bro.
I don't think any of what he just said is even in the realm of remote possibility. I just wanted to give him the say because not only is he kind about us and enjoying the show and what he said about me, but I kind of feel for him. And I feel pity, you know?
Because you've been there.
I understand. Yeah. I understand. You know, I've been there. I've been there where it's tough to realize what's right in front of you is your hated rival. Spank-a-lanka-lanka, you right out the door.
Smack that.
I saw the line. You know, Adam types in what people want to say. And it was like, Ohio State still has a chance to make the playoff. And I was like, what?
Yeah, no.
All right. I want to hear him out.
The College Football Playoff Committee opens the door to that sort of conversation because they're seventh.
Yeah, but come on.
They are not going over a one-loss Notre Dame.
A lot would have to happen.
Which is why, again, Brian Kelly leaving right now is kind of like, hey, bro, you say you want to go place to win championships. Those who stay will be champions. And that's a phrase that Bo Schembechler once said. Those who stay will be champions.
Like a champion.
Okay.
That's my motto.
All right.
Yeah, it's weird.
Hey, I want to just say this before Jeff Passan joins us in the next hour. He covers baseball for ESPN. I am so sorry to all the people in Major League Baseball's orbit who make money off of a season doing whatever they do, whether it's selling concessions in a stadium or doing anything around a stadium or do anything associated with the sport. Because right now they are looking at 2022 and they are wondering if billionaires and multimillionaires are getting together and they can't figure out how to split up a multi-billion dollar pie, that these people are going to be left wondering what's up. And I also feel for those who work in Major League Baseball who are wondering if they might be furloughed, what could be happening. I wonder if it's their job to sell the sport in any way, shape, or form, sell their clubs, sell people on loving baseball. I feel for them right now. And I also feel for anybody who works at MLB Network. I felt all of this when I was at NFL Network. I had to talk about a sport. I had no idea if it was going to happen. It stinks. It stunk. There's going to be a date somewhere. I don't know what that date is. It's sometime maybe in February, a drop-dead date where everyone knows that if a deal is not done, then spring training may not happen. And if spring training doesn't happen, that means spring training is going to have to happen because you can't just turn the lights on and start playing baseball without anything going on. That date's going to come. I don't know when that is. Like I said, it's probably, to be honest, it's got to be sometime during the NFL playoffs, which is the problem of baseball. Because we're going to be checked out. I know I will be. I'm going to be checked out. I'm not going to be sitting here biting my fingers down to the cuticle about whether there's going to be baseball when there's an AFC championship game or an NFC championship game going on. And that's what baseball's now entering that world. So I send my best to all of them and to whoever is at a negotiating table. They're going to step aside and they're going to start saying nasty stuff. It's going to get ugly. And that's the way these things go. But there's a drop dead date in somebody's mind. There's midnight. I don't know what that midnight is. And what is the actual one or two items on the table that everybody truly has decided to go to DEFCON 1 for right now? I don't know what those are. That's why Jeff Passan's coming on. But I have been there, man. I was a long, long, long 2011. But it did finally happen right around training camp. It did finally happen. Thank God. And then there's that new collective bargaining agreement that went on now for 10 more years for the NFL. I know that players, many of them aren't happy with, but the fans are. The fans sure are. And I'm thinking of baseball fans everywhere right now. And I hope this isn't a nuclear winter. And for baseball, I hope you get what you want, man. Because the fire has been started and you're playing with it. And there's a bunch of fans that are ready to check out for the baseball baseball winner, because there's football to fill it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Tony Dungy and you and Jeff Passan, hour two coming up.